Our gospel lesson continues this morning with the first chapter of Luke, verses 46 through 56. Listen once more to God's word. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. From now on, all generations shall call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things in me. Holy is God's name. God's mercy is for those who fear God from generation to generation. God has shown strength with his arm. God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the holy. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. God has helped God's servant Israel in remembrance of God's mercy, according to the promises God made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her cousin Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned to her home. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, our souls seek to magnify your name. Our hearts leap with joy at the sound of the good news of the Christ child. We turn to you now, praying that our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds will be open to your word for us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've shared with you before that my family of origin is Catholic. And so I was raised in a Roman Catholic household. My maternal grandparents were deeply devoted to Mary. They made rosary beads for years to be sent to missionaries around the world. My grandmother would cut thin strings, take clear nail polish to seal the ends and hang them to dry on clotheslines in the basement. She would count out colored beads into Ziploc baggies. And my grandfather would sit in his overstuffed rocking chair with his cigarette at his side table watching the game, counting out rosaries, beads in groups of 10, tying them with a twist tie to be shipped around the world. When I grew up, I learned that 3 Hail Marys were the sure penance for fighting with your sisters, of which I have 2. And they were the surefire prayer to make sure that that which was lost would be found. It often worked. Now, while my devotion to my grandparents never waned, I adore all 4 of my grandparents to this day, my devotion to Mary did. As I grew up, I became more and more, well, Protestant. Like Presbyterians before me, I prayed to God directly rather than seeking the intercession of Mary. I abandoned the notion that Mary remained a virgin after her birth. After Jesus' birth. I trusted the biblical testimony of Jesus' siblings, and I trusted the notion that Mary was precious in God's sight, not because of her virginity, but because of her willingness to say yes to God's plan. And I walked away from doctrines such as the Immaculate Conception or the Assumption, for I was convinced that Mary did not have to be perfect in order for Jesus to be perfect. Yet I have found myself turning toward Mary again, not as an object of devotion, but rather as a prophetic voice, as a prophetic role model One who answers God's call and lives into that call fully. An example as to how we can participate in God's saving work in Jesus Christ. As I stand here today, I am keenly aware that as a woman in ministry, there are not enough voices in Scripture, strong female voices represented within the canon of our faith that show how God works in and through the lives of women. Yet I know that God works through us too. And so I know it is essential for us to revisit Mary's story, to see what God, through Mary, has to say to us again and again. Today's story is a familiar one to us. We'll see it retold again next Sunday in our Christmas pageant. A girl named Mary receives surprising news from an unlikely messenger. Now, this girl, Mary, has no social standing of her own. She is the least and the lowly about who God talks. She is poor. She is young, probably only about 12 or 13 years old. She's uneducated, unmarried, and she's a girl. Yet the angel appears in this maiden's room, no place fancy, and tells Mary that God loves her. In fact, God has chosen her to be the one through whom the Christ child, the Savior, would enter the world. With little hesitation, Mary says yes to the angel's invitation, even though there is so little in her life about which she actually has a say. Even though her yes puts her at risk for being pregnant before she is married. Even though what the angel is talking about isn't possible. And just like that, Mary embarks upon this journey, taking refuge with the only person who will understand her story, her cousin Elizabeth, who the angel lets her know is also unexpectedly expectant. When Mary arrives at Elizabeth's house, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy, heralding the one who is to come. Elizabeth receives the good news of Mary's arrival and her pregnancy with joy, convinced as Mary is that nothing is impossible with God. And then we hear Mary's song, a song of praise to God, a song of the miracle of God's unlikely plan, a song of how God's surprising justice comes into this world through the least and the lowly. Mary, in Luke's gospel, is a prophet unlike any other. Now, she doesn't speak through burning bushes or eat scrolls, but Mary is called by God out of the confines of her daily life and social state. And she's commissioned by God to bring a new revelation to God's people. Through Mary, redemption comes into this world. Through Mary, God breaks into humankind and brings salvation to all. Through Mary, God enters the world in Christ so that all of us might know the fullness of God's love. We are here today because we want to believe this good news. We want to have hope as we sit in these pews that hope is not lost, that the fullness of God's life has broken into this world and is still with us. We need to trust that the broken things of this world are going to change. We need to hear the words of Mary's song and sing them with joy, giving voice not only to the kingdom that God desires here on earth, but also the life with which, to which we are called. We need a prophet now. We need Mary. Because when we think of the breaking news today, we don't think of angels. The news today is of mounted stories of young, unarmed, black men and boys who lose their lives because of a white police officer's use of lethal force. The news today is of subsequent refusal of grand juries to indict the police officers in question. And if we can even get past those headlines, we read of women suing employers for job protections during pregnancy, and of the GOP trying to unseat federal protections that Obama afforded to LGBTQ persons nationwide. The news we hear today is scary. It's disheartening. It reminds us that racism and sexism and heterosexism still have a hold on our society, and that the justice that is promised to all is not extended equally. It shows us clearly that privilege and power still have a hold on our society. They go hand in hand. The news points out how a system created to ensure the freedom and justice of all falls short of its promises. But Mary's words remind us that this broken justice system is not God's brand of justice. Mary sings of a God who strengthens the weak while dismantling the power structures of the world. She sings of a God who feeds the hungry while the rich walk away empty. Mary sings of a God who elevates the humble while unseating the rulers of the world. Mary sings of a God who refuses to forget the world. Mary sings of a God who refuses to forget the forgotten. Mary sings of a God whose arms are open to those on whom the world has turned its back, and reminds us that God's power cannot be co-opted by the strong to the denigration of the weak. Rather, this God is the one who brings redemption into the world through those who have been forgotten. Mary gives us cause to hope. Because see, the God of her song is our God too. But even as we claim the hope that Mary offers, we cannot simply rest in this hope. This hope is not a balm to placate our spirits when we are outraged or discouraged. For if we are taking cues from Mary, this hope is the breeding ground for action. It's the nourishment we need to give us courage and strength for the journey ahead, fuel for our prophetic deeds. Like Mary, the God who calls us to do something. We cannot simply sit by and wait for the world to fix itself. We cannot even sit in expectation and wait for God to wave a magic wand that will make all things right. Rather, we need to take our cues from this text that God works through people. The incarnation would not have been possible without Mary. Jesus would never have been born in a manger. He never would have grown up and taught and healed and performed miracles. He never would have died for our sins or risen again without a mother to deliver him into this world. God needed Mary, and God needs us too. See, God's call is not just for the prophets of old. As we see with Mary, as we saw with Rosa Parks, God calls ordinary people to prophetic acts. God shows us in Mary how those from whom we least expect things like courage, resilience, or anything extraordinary can in one simple word change the world. Mary's yes altered the destiny of humankind. Mary's yes made all the difference. God works today through ordinary people too. People like us are called to bring Christ into the world in life-giving, radical ways. The 14th century German mystic Meister Eckhart wrote, "What is the good if Mary gave birth to the Son of God 2,000 years ago, if I do not give birth to God today? We are all mothers of God, for God is always needing to be born." The One Girl, One Voice movement, a movement to encourage socially responsible teens to use their voice for positive change, has these stories on its website of how young girls are using their voices today to make change. Sarah, a 15-year-old girl from Doha, Qatar, writes, "I use my voice to help girls in Tanzania have access to a valuable and essential education. By assisting in building schools for orphans, I hope to better the lives of these girls by paving the way for them to take hold of the right to an education. I also use my voice to speak out for girls in Qatar who feel subjected and oppressed by the stereotypical gender roles their society enforces. I try to empower them to be strong women." Sonal, a 15-year-old girl from California, is using her voice to help spread literacy. She started a program called Rescue a Book, where she receives donations of used and new books and donates them to schools and libraries and hospitals. 14-year-old Holly Grace is fighting bullying with her voice. 11-year-old Sophia is advocating for kidney donations. 16-year-old Olivia from South Africa fundraises for conservation to protect wildlife. What is your yes to God? What need exists in this world that you have the gifts and the passion to address? What injustice exists in this world that you have the gifts and the passion and the voice to stand against? How are you being called to give birth to God today? On the second Sunday of Advent, we are invited to find hope in unexpected places, in a girl, in a simple answer, in the yes within ourselves. We are invited to sit ready in the quiet corners of our daily lives and to listen in stillness for God's voice to us. It is possible, perhaps even likely, that it is here that we will hear God's call. For the good news is that we are ambassadors of hope. We are instruments of grace. We are called to give birth to Christ in and through our very lives. For nothing is impossible with God. Amen. I invite you now to stand as you are able and join in sharing the affirmation of faith that is printed in your bulletins, that we might lift our voices together and claim the promises of Christ for us. We We confess that Jesus Christ is God with us, the eternal Son of the Father, who became human and lived among us to fulfill the work of reconciliation. We believe that the risen Christ is present in the church by the power of the Holy Spirit to continue and complete his mission. This work of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the foundation of all we say about God, ourselves, and the world. We acknowledge that God's sovereign grace is a mystery beyond the reach of human minds. But in Jesus Christ, God reveals love by showing power in the form of a servant, wisdom in the following a cross, and goodness in receiving sinful people. The power of God's love in Christ transforms the world. Amen.